So this morning, I felt like God wanted me to talk about the old man and the new man, and what that means, and how can we walk as the new man that God made us to be. So to give you an example, sometimes, when we were born again, can you guys hear me okay? Okay, when we were born again, we were made new, right? Yes. The Bible says the old man has gone, the new man has come, we're created new. However, how many of you know sometimes the old man tries to creep back in, right? The old habits, the old thoughts. And I was thinking about this, and I'm like, sometimes we confuse our behavior with our identity. We think, oh, you know what? I am still that old person. I am still having the same struggles. I am still stuck there. But our behavior does not equal our identity. Let me give you an example. When I was at NYSEM, we went on missions, an outreach to a mentally handicapped home. And we dressed up as clowns. So we were like, this, you know, was our ministry. They loved it. And it was fun. We put on the makeup, whatever. But after that, so I was a clown for that day, right? Does that mean that now I have a clowning business? And I go around to birthday parties as a clown because I did it once, right? It doesn't. That's Mike's thing. We'll let Mike keep that. Mike's good at it. Or how about you and your friend go to one of those ladies' paint nights or a pottery class or something? Does that mean all of a sudden you're an artist because you went to Stanley says, yeah, totally does. So just because we have done something doesn't mean that's who we are, right? And sometimes we can mix up our identity with what we do. Even, like, that could be true for a job or a relationship. Like, I struggle sometimes, you know, I'm like, I am a mom. That is my only identity because that's how it feels sometimes, you know, or with our jobs or whatever. We feel like that's all there is to us. But there's so much more to us on the inside. It's who God made us on the inside. The question is, whatever defines me is the things that make me feel alive. What gives me joy and passion brings light into my life. If there's something I'd rather not do, perhaps it's not what God made me to be. And we can let go of those things. We don't have to keep doing them. We don't have to be stuck there, right? So, I want to look at somebody who struggled with this as well. So let's turn to... Let's see, which part do I want to start with? We'll start with Luke 5. If you can turn in your Bibles to Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. We're just going to read the first part of Luke 5. And I'm still turning there myself. All right, so we're talking about the old man and the new man. Sometimes, like I said, we think we know what we are and who we are, and then Jesus comes on the scene and tells us otherwise. Rewrites our story. Luke 5. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. So were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So here we see Simon. His identity to him is he is a fisherman. That's what he does all day, every day. That's how he provides for his family. That's how he pays. I'm afraid of that. This one never lasts long. Yeah. Do we have the other lapel, or do you want me to hold the...
Well, you could use your father's. It should be over there.
Oh! Is that... Wow, that's a lot better. Thank you. Okay. So, here we have Simon, the fisherman. So, he calls Jesus Master, right? Even though he doesn't have faith that things in his life can change, he still thinks, "I'm just going to be a fisherman." And even at that, he's like, "I'm not even very good at being a fisherman," because he didn't catch any fish all night long, right? But when Simon sees the provision for him that God made and the miracle, he doesn't receive it at first, right? He falls at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me, Jesus. I'm not like you. I am a sinful man." That's what how he sees himself. That's the old man. That's the identity. He's like, "I am a sinful man," right? And that's where Simon could have gotten stuck, right? And that's where we sometimes get stuck. We get stuck in this feeling of guilt or shame. We're like, "Well, that's just who I am. I'm just a mess up. I just keep screwing things up. I'm just always going to keep doing it this way." And that's kind of where Simon is. But then Jesus says something else. He says, "You are not a fisherman anymore. You are a fisher of man," right? And he rewrites his identity, rewrites his story, and he's like, "There is more. There is more for you out there, Simon." Right? And Simon does what? Leaves everything and follows Jesus. So he accepts it. He receives this truth, this new life, and leaves his old ways behind. Right? He can't do both. He can't follow Jesus and go and see what this is all about. What is a fisher of man he's about to learn? And stay behind and fish. Right? It's one or the other, okay? So we have to let go of that old stuff so we can move into the new stuff. Then we see in Matthew 16, if you want to turn there, you can. Matthew 16, only a couple of verses here. Jesus, Simon has been following Jesus for a while. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" In other words, who do people say that I am? They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus asks, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Peter might not exactly know who he is yet, but he knows who Jesus is. He knows who his God is. Jesus replied, verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ. So here, Simon has a new identity again. He's not just a fisher of man. Jesus is now telling him, "This is who you are going to be in the future. You're going to be Peter. Rock," right? And he's telling him about his identity in the aspect of his potential, right? Peter doesn't know what his potential is. He's like, "Hey, I was a fisherman. Jesus made me a fisher of man." Well, guess what? He's not going to stay there either. God has even more for him. right? That's so exciting. But first, Peter had to accept and proclaim who Jesus really was, right? He had to know who Jesus was and who God was before he could accept who he was and who he was made to be. And the cool thing, and the way we know that this is talking about his potential is the Greek. Whenever you look at it, there's two different words here for Peter. Petros and Petra. So Petra means mountain of rocks on which they used to build houses or altars, okay? Petra. Petros is one loose stone that could easily be kicked around, moved, whatever, okay? So Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to read this in what the Greek would say, you are, right now, Petros, meaning that wobbly stone that could be easily moved, kicked, whatever. But on that Petra, so in the future, that unmovable, unshakable mountain of rock, I'm going to build my church. So he's saying, Peter, right now, you're a little wobbly and shaky, and that's okay. That's just how you're starting out. I have a vision for you. I have a plan for you, and it's going to happen. So have faith and just keep following me. Isn't that awesome? And it gives us relief, too, because it's okay that we're at the beginning. We're all in a process, aren't we? We're not at the end, and we're never going to be there until we're up in heaven, right? And it's okay. He doesn't expect us to be this mountain of unmovable rock just yet. We're just starting out. It's the beginning. And his grace is so good for us. And so as we're making this transition from old man to new man, we're never going to be fully living to our ultimate potential as the new man with no struggles here on earth, are we? Because we're human, right? We're stuck in this old man, no matter how old your physical body actually is and how long you've been here. We're all in this old flesh, right? And that's what the Bible's always talking about, this battle between flesh and spirit. It's the same thing, old man and new man. The flesh is our old man, right? That's, you know, part of this earth that struggles, that wants things that we really don't want, but we think we want, right? So we're in process, but we have potential, and we will get stronger and stronger, right, as we spend time with the Lord. So now Simon doesn't have to live that old life anymore. But how many of you know when we go through a struggle, we fall back to that old man? Let's look at John 21. So Jesus has been crucified, and Peter is lost. He's very confused, right? He was like, well, I thought my identity was to follow Jesus and just to do what he told me to do. And now Jesus isn't here. So I guess it's just me again. I guess I just got to go back to doing what I don't know how to do all by myself and rely on myself. And that's exactly what he does. He goes back to his old identity. So John 21. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 3. Simon Peter says, I'm going fishing. Mm-hmm. That's his fisherman identity, right? All the disciples said, we'll go with you. They're all lost. They don't know what else to do. So they went out, got in the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Here again, relying on himself, he is not successful, right? We cannot be successful if we're doing the old thing. Verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. These are the same instructions as last time, aren't they? It's funny how long it takes us to get things sometimes. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, like Pastor Kurt was saying, John, in other words, who wrote this book. It's the Lord! As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask who it was. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Here we have loaves and fish again. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Going to keep reading, and then I'll talk. So, they finished eating. Jesus is alone with Peter. But he doesn't call him Peter. He says, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And when people have studied this, these, he's talking about the fish. So he's like, do you love me more than you love that old way? You're providing for yourself again. You know, do you love me more than you love these fish and what they mean to you? Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." All right, I'm going to stop there. So here we have a whole nother identity Jesus is giving him. Peter now is being called Simon because he went back to his old identity, right? But now his new identity isn't a fisher of men anymore. It's a shepherd. Jesus is saying, "Take care of my sheep then. Take care of my lambs." In other words, I'm leaving. You're not a fisher of men anymore. I have a whole new identity for you because now I'm going to be gone. The Holy Spirit is coming to help you, and you are going to take care of my people now. And from here on out in the Bible, Simon Peter is never called Simon again. He's only called Peter. And it starts with the book of Acts when he preaches and thousands come to the Lord, right? Because he had this potential, right? And even though he wavered and went back to his old identity, Jesus didn't say, "Well, you failed me, Simon. I knew you were going to go back to that fishing as soon as I just left," you know? And sometimes that's how we feel with ourselves, you know? We're like, "Oh, I just knew it. I knew that I would go back to that again." And we condemn ourselves. But the Lord does not condemn us, does he? Yeah. He forgives us. He takes us back. He brushes us off. And he says, "You know what? You have an even better potential than before you went back. You're going to be, you know, the shepherd now," is what he is giving him. Sometimes even our redeemed identity changes. He takes us, the Bible says, from glory to glory.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We don't have to even stay at the next great thing, right? The fishers of men was great. It was awesome. It was a good time. He was like, you know, enjoying it and feeling like, "Wow, this is awesome. My life is going great." And then sometimes we think, instead of feeling like we go up the next step, we go back a step before the Lord can bring us to the next step. And that's kind of like Pastor Kurt was talking about a couple weeks ago. You got to sometimes go through Samaria to get to, where was he going? I don't remember what your, I don't remember, Capernaum or something, yeah. But sometimes the Lord says, you know, that mess up that you had, that was all part of my plan. It's okay, I knew you were going to do that. It didn't derail my plans for you. Isn't that awesome? That his plans are bigger than any of our mistakes, any of our weaknesses, any of our backsliding or whatever we want to call it. I'm so grateful for that. I cannot mess it up. Isn't that a relief?
Yes.
I can't mess up his plan for me. He's always going to bring me back to himself. And I always have the option to repent and come back and still receive the full inheritance. Wow, he's so good. All right, so how do we do this? How do we put off the old man? That's the verse, let me read the exact thing for you here. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24 says, put off your former manner of life. Lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted by evil desires, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind. Put on your new self, in the likeness that God has created. So how do we do that? Let me ask you a question. How do you stop smoking? Do you focus on not smoking? You say, okay, I'm not going to smoke all day long. I'm not going to smoke. No, because you're still focusing on smoking, right? How do you not eat that chocolate bar that's sitting on your desk? Do you stare at it? I'm not going to eat it. No, because you're going to eat it. You're still thinking about the chocolate bar on your desk. Right? So to put on the new man, we don't focus on the old man and not doing those things. We focus on the new man and what do I want to do instead. We have to replace the old man with the new man. Right? We crowd it out. I was kind of thinking about this the other day. I was weeding and I have this herb garden and it has all these weeds that keep coming up. Super annoying. A lot of them are vines or whatever. But then I have this cilantro that is like out of control. It's probably 2 feet high. And I noticed there are a couple little weeds around the cilantro, but hardly any. Because why? Because the good has crowded out the bad, right? There's no light for those weeds to grow because the light is being fed into the good plants. So in our lives, I used to hear this picture when you're talking about the flesh and the spirit, whichever dog you feed is the dog that's going to win, right? If you're feeding your flesh, giving it whatever you feel like you want to do all the time, that's going to win. But if you're feeding your spirit, spending time with the Lord, asking him what he wants you to do, thanking him for things and focusing on your building up your spirit, that's what's going to win, right? And it's work, right? It's easier to just let the flesh win. It's a lot more work to feed the spirit, right? We really have to go after it. And it's challenging and it's hard. That's why we keep going back to the old man sometimes. We just get tired. The Lord said it's okay. He understands that we're weak, right? But just to encourage us to get rid of negative thoughts about ourselves or God, we can't focus on, okay, I'm not going to think that way anymore. We have to replace it with the truth, right? And focus on the truth. Write it down. Put it on your fridge. Remind yourself of the truth. Every time that negative thought comes up, don't dwell on it. Push it away and just say the truth instead, right? It's a challenge and it's work. But the old ways eventually then become to feel unnatural. The way this verse is worded, the Ephesians 4:22, it says, put off your old self and clothe yourself with the new self in the likeness of God, right? So if you have a shirt, right, an old comfy shirt, you don't really want to get rid of it. But if you change, right, say it was a comfortable shirt because you were a certain size or whatever, all of a sudden it doesn't fit you anymore because you have changed, okay? And now you put on the new shirt feels pretty good. And the more you wear the new shirt, it gets more comfortable than putting the old one back on. And then you put the old one on, you look in the mirror. And you're like, ooh, I don't like how I look in that old shirt. I like the new shirt better. Right? And that's what can happen for us. But sometimes we need to kind of have that mirror. And so I'm going to give you a paper in a minute that kind of gives some examples for you. And we're going to spend some time with the Lord and ask him. But just some things that are kind of like a warning sign for us. Hey, the old man is creeping in, and tell it to go away and replace it with the new man. And let me just say, there is no shame in any of this. This is not stuff that we have to do, you know, to get rid of the old man and our old ways and, oh, it's, you know, whatever. It's like I said, we just focus on the new man. The Bible talks about new wineskins. I don't know if you've heard it used this way before or not. But sometimes the Lord has to help us change our wineskin, because if he puts the new wine in, it's going to burst us, right? So the Bible's Matthew 9:17 is where it says about the new wineskins. And sometimes we're like, Lord, I just need refreshed. I just want more. I want to do more things. I want to move on and, you know, do these things. But he's like, I'm working character in you now so that you can contain that in the future. And so we just, all we have to do, we don't have to make ourselves new. We don't have to make the new wineskin or whatever. We just have to surrender to the work he's already doing and that he started to do. It's not up to us. It's not what we have to do. We just have to rest and receive. Isn't that just such a blessing? And that's his mercy, because he knows that we won't make it if he doesn't change us. Sure. Is Andrew or Ashton on the computer? Could one of you, there's a song that we're going to play. Okay. So on here, I'm going to read what these say, and then we're going to spend some time with the Lord. If you have a pen, I'm going to try to walk behind this. Hopefully it won't scream at me. Thank you. All right. So this is a mirror, kind of like I said. These are just indications. Thank you. If you see one of these old things pop up, there's no shame. It's just an indication. There's some old man creeping in, and that is not who I am anymore. Instead, replacing it with the new man. So some examples here. Feelings of guilt and shame. Automatic red light. This is the old man talking, because the new man has peace and joy. The old man feels trapped in their life and powerless. So if you feel that way, that's an indication. And the new man feels empowered and free. The old man struggles, right? Everything feels like a struggle. You're struggling with your thoughts. You're struggling in your heart. That's an indication of the old man. That's not who you are anymore. You can be at rest in your soul and mind. The old man gives up, gives in, and accepts defeat. I gotta admit, I was there last week. The new man endures, fights, knows they're a warrior, and fights alongside the Holy Spirit, not against, right? Sometimes I feel like I'm struggling because I just haven't surrendered. I'm like, oh, I'm fighting against you, Lord. That is the old me. The new me fights alongside the Holy Spirit. The old man is afraid that their needs will go unmet. We all struggle with this sometimes. Some red lights here could be you're demanding things, you're worrying about needs getting met, you're hiding from your life, like in escapism or something, you're hoarding things, or you feel hopeless or frustrated. If you have any of those going on, that's the old man. The new man trusts that God will take care of needs. You just proclaim that over your life. God has my physical needs already met, my financial needs, my emotional needs, my relationship needs, my circumstances. He's got it all. The old man feels discontented with their life. We say, no more, Lord. The new man feels grateful about their life. And this is, like I said, not a guilt thing where we're like, oh, I should be more grateful. I can't believe I'm whining about life again. No. We just say, Lord, that's the old me. The new me is grateful. Thank you. You know, and just go into it and proclaim it and walk out who you are. The old man relies on their own wisdom and strength to figure things out. The new man relies on God for their direction and to enable them to overcome whatever it is they're going through. The old man is trying to be perfect, oh boy, and rejects themselves, right, when they fail. But the new man can look at failure and say, what can I learn from this? Accepting correction, making changes, and receiving God's grace for their mistakes or shortcomings. The old man has habits that sabotage themselves, right? That don't get them where they want to go. But the new man has habits that lead them to their goal. And again, that's who I used to be. I don't need to do that bad habit anymore. I know it's not helping me, and I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore, but don't focus on not doing it. Just say, Lord, that's the old me. Help me with this new habit instead. The old man relates to others by comparing themselves with them, feeling jealous, or sometimes the opposite, feeling better than, right? But the new man is secure in how loved they are and accepted by God. The old man holds on to offenses and hurts and carries unforgiveness. The new man lets go of those things and forgives and has compassion, realizing other people have their own insecurities, right? And weaknesses, and we are all just here on this earth together. We're going to hurt each other. The old man is guarded and easily upset or angered by others, but the new man is open-hearted and can be gracious with others. And lastly, I have here, and these are all just examples. The old man has negative self-talk to themselves, you know, about their insecurity or identity. And the new man encourages himself, knows his identity in relation to being God's creation, right? You know, I am God's. He loves me. And like I said, we go back and forth between these things until we die, okay? But what we're going to do now is, just for this moment in time with the Lord, we're going to ask him, and I want you to write it in those empty blocks there. Lord, what in my life is old man thoughts, actions, behaviors that you want me to let go of and move on from? And then whatever you write down there, remember, we're not focusing on not doing that. Ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what's the new man thing? Who am I now? I don't have to go back to that old thing. What do you want me to be, think, do instead? Okay? So we're going to spend about 10 minutes now just with some music playing, just between you and the Lord. Nobody else is going to see this paper. And then we're going to take it home, and you're going to put it somewhere that you can frequently remind yourself, that's the old me. The new me doesn't need to do that. Instead, I can do this. I'm free. Okay? So I'm just going to, if anyone needs a pen, put your hand up and I'll bring one around. But we're going to go ahead and start that right now between you and the Lord.
Torn, you mend again. You redesign the tattered thread by thread. You took the broken and destroyed, and you rebuild, and you make whole. Sing it with me, joy, begin to rise. And joy, begin to rise. And begin to light the dark, for our God exchanges gold for new dawn. He's conquered light and death, he's lost to life, and now we are exchanging gold for new light. And you, we walk in the impossible. We believe it. We take your love into the world. We let our light shine. We let it burn. Hey! God exchanges all.
How many believe that this morning?
And I is conquered night and day, is lost to life, and now we are exchanging all for new.
Just thank you so much for this time together with you and for all the things that you showed us that we don't have to carry anymore. And Lord, right now we just take all these old man ways and we give them to you, and we thank you that that's not who we are truly. That's not who you made us to be, and that's not who we have to be anymore. And we let go of those things, and we ask that you will continue to help us to put on instead the new things, our new identity that you've showed us, the new behaviors and actions that we can be free to do. Lord, we receive your enabling. We receive your grace and forgiveness for anything we've done in the past, the way that we've fallen back into the old man. Lord, we thank you that you still love us, and that you are going to walk with us through this life as we continue to put on the new man day by day, moment by moment, choice by choice. Every day is a new day. And Lord, we just thank you that you are such a gracious, loving, and patient God. I ask that this week we'll have many opportunities to put on the new man, and that you will help us to come back with testimonies of our victory and of our new freedom, and the way that we just feel our life is in the light and full of joy now. So, Lord, we just are believing that you are going to continue to make a change and bring us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.